Hello, everyone. It's Michael Jacob with Unleashing Intuition Secrets, joined once again by Leo Zgami, Confessions of Illuminati. So you have I have all of them here, pretty much all your books. So I have ready to go 8, 9, 10, and 11. So fantastic. I mean, best-selling author. You've done an amazing job revealing great information. Because I liken you to like my career in the CIA. You know, we had a love affair with a crazy woman, you with Illuminati, me with the CIA, and we found out they were crazy, so we had to like leave. And they were like, we found out just how crazy they were because they tried to kill us. So I know you've had some amazing reveals that we've had on the show quite a few times. Now we have Trump that's basically, you know, come into office. And what would you say over the last several, you know, days that he's been in office has been his results? And thank you for coming on. How you been?
Thank you for having me on, and it's always a pleasure, as you know, with your audience. It's been, of course, very much a pleasure to see that, you know, promises that have been made are promises kept when it comes to Trump. And this is usually unlikely with the majority of politicians who will sell you anything during their electoral campaign, but when it comes to the actual office, they are always disappointing. Oh, we wanted to do that, it's too difficult to do that. Instead, with Trump, we really see there is this, because he's, you know, he's in his second term of office, he's not seeking any re-election. He is seeking to enter the American history as an innovator. And for that reason, his executive orders have been coming one after the other. And of course, there is those ones that are more controversial than others. But I have seen a coherence, being coherent, being real to what he has promised. And of course, yesterday he arrived here in California, and that was really incredible to witness. We saw basically Donald J. Trump facing, first of all, as soon as he came out of the plane, as promised, Newsom, or Newsom, the governor, went immediately on the tarmac so he could welcome him to California, even if they didn't have any prior contact. And Newsom was very much eager to get this money because up until a couple of hours before, Trump in North Carolina said there is a couple of things that I would like to point out, the ID, you know, the voter ID thing is very important for Trump, and I think it's very important for all Californians. When we see there is so many illegal migrants and some who even had the opportunity to vote, is an insult to Americans and to our democracy and to our constitutional republic. So I think that that was a request that wasn't out of, you know, it wasn't. I mean, and the fact also that Trump said, we want something else here. We want to help the people of California by releasing the water that we have in abundance from the north. And I must say that yesterday, the art of the deal came in place in his encounter with the mayor, the communist
Ooh,
mayor
yeah.
of LA. After the governor, of course, there was this, let's say, kind of a town hall. It was a meeting that was made in one of the most affected areas, which, of course, Trump visited. And he immediately started to say, they're talking about waiting for 18 months, all these regulations, all these things that will basically make it impossible for people to rebuild. So let's scrap off all these regulations. And he actually even went so far as saying to the mayor, who was trying to say, okay, we're not going to do 18 months, we're going to do it in 1 week. Trump said, no, 1 week, even 1 week is too much. Let's start immediately. Let's bring away, in the meantime, all these dangerous at times residues from all this. You know, there has been basically a whole city on fire. That is as big as, I don't know, as San Francisco. So there is a lot of stuff that needs to be cleared. But if we wait for somebody nominated by the town council, by the mayor to do this job, we will be waiting for months and months. So,
Yeah, I can tell you from our experience here in Florida, when we had the hurricane come through, we were restricted from coming back in for several days by the police, and then finally they let us back in. It was a mess. So we got in and started cleaning, got everything out to the street. And past hurricanes, they come in within a few days and take all the trash and everything away. They didn't come and take our trash away for up to 3 months. So we had hired, after a couple of weeks, we just hired somebody. That's what Trump said. People will just hire somebody to come clean for them. That's what we did.
maybe
Because
even spend,
you can't depend on the city.
no, but also if they are authorized by the city or the state, they might cost a lot of money. You might end up spending $20,000, $25,000 for just cleaning up your garden or cleaning up your out of all these residues. So I think that the revolution of common sense arrived to California, and it was quite fascinating to see that even the Democrats in the end, even the ones that were trying to defend SPEMA, in the end, Trump kind of wiped them all out, with his art of the deal, with the capacity that he also has of communicating. Even the most fierce Trump critic that was present during this meeting with the local authorities came to understand that Trump actually wants to do good. And in the end, he didn't actually set any conditions because he saw that the situation on the ground is really bad and didn't want to make it political. And it was quite, I think, quite nice, also visibly, and everything that he came with Melania, that they made a couple, a very power couple. I mean, that she was present with him. This never happened before. So, I mean, it's like Melania really wants to get more involved, which is also, I think, very positive. Then we have, of course, the critics of this first days of the Trump era. And one of the main critics, of course, is Alex Soros, who is the great, I mean, the guy who's been defeated. He calls the MAGA people bullies in an interview. He goes as far as criticizing what Trump wants to do and every facet of it. But when Tom Homan, which I mean, I'm glad that Tom Homan is my friend because Tom Homan is a guy who asked my friendship on Facebook. I didn't know him. A few years ago, he asked my friendship, and he's actually a Catholic. And he has criticized on Newsmax in the last few hours Pope Francis, who came out with that disgraceful phrase, regarding the mass deportation. Here we are talking about a revolution of common sense. These people are criminals. Like the guy from Haiti that was like, thank you, Obama, thank you, Joe Biden. He was like giving the shout outs while they were arresting him. I don't know if you saw that scene, that was quite interesting. And Tom Homan said, no, you're gonna go back to your capital. Of course, the leftists are already counting the money that was spent for these planes that were sent to Nicaragua, whatever, and then Nicaragua accepted, Mexico didn't accept them. And Mexico is a problem. I mean, if there is a country we should declare war upon, is Mexico. I mean, it might sound a little bit extreme what I'm saying, but the level of corruption in the state, because it is endemic to to South and Central America, this Jesuit presence that leads to these irregular and criminal activities with these cartels who are always controlled by people who are very close to the church. People might not know this, but so sending them to Guatemala or sending them to other places maybe is better because at the moment it seems like Mexico is really in the hands of the enemy and they have sabotaged already the first attempt of bringing migrants on a plane. That is really something that should make Trump immediately use the tariffs in a very harsh way against Mexico for what they did.
Yeah, I
Then,
totally agree. And Trump is sending a lot of military down to the border, and combat units down to the border. So I'm looking at it as like It's the beginning stages. He's already designated the cartel's terrorist organization. So there's been talk for years now that Trump is back in office, that he would designate them as terrorists and then go in after them. So if that does happen, which I agree with you, I think it should. What do you think that does to Mexico? Do you think like the Mexican people will revolt against that, or do you think they would embrace that,
Okay,
or
I know
would the military agree with that and help out?
Mexico is a Masonic progressive state, federation of states. Okay, the United States of Mexico, okay, are basically a reality which is controlled by Freemasons who are controlled themselves by Illuminati and Jesuits who report directly to the Pope. Pope Francis was behind that Episcopal bishop who attacked Trump in front of him during that prayer service. She should never have done that, but I had already announced that prior to that on my website. If you remember, a
I
few weeks
saw
ago,
that. That's very good. Good job.
I said,
You called.
as soon as Trump will do his inauguration, Pope Francis will be on the attack, and he will unleash it not only through his own bishops, but also through the Episcopal ones who shouldn't even depend from him. But nowadays, the Anglican churches worldwide are connected to this alliance, this new one world religion that is coming together with Pope Francis, which, as you know, I have described in my books, because when I describe the one world religion in volume seven, for example, I talk about in volume seven, the Great Reset. Occult agenda, the occult roots of it. I talk about the Pact of the Catacombs behind the rise of Klaus Schwab and the Davos elite. And today, the Davos elite is admitting that they have lost. They have actually admitted it during one of their panels. They said, "We have lost. Trump has won." And this is, and it was great to see Trump. A lot of people said to me, "Well, Trump shouldn't give them any importance. He shouldn't have intervened." And I immediately replied, "That is a great opportunity once you defeat your enemy to talk with your enemy, to make your enemy understand why they lost, and maybe to reason with your enemy so that your enemy comes on your side." Because, first of all, Trump is the president now of all Americans. And his responsibility is a much wider responsibility than being simply the head of a party, the Republican Party, or what he has done during his electoral campaign. He has a much bigger responsibility. So I understand that he has to move in a certain way. Of course, when you see what is happening with Greenland, and people, listen, Michael, I talked about it last week on my show, on the Leo Zagami show, and people immediately attacked me. "Oh, you are an imperialist. We here in Great Britain, we think that Greenland should be their own sovereignty." We here in Great Britain. I was about to say, "Listen, guys, you don't have any sovereignty. The Muslims are overrunning your country. You have all a bunch of Muslim mess that are taking control of you. Europe doesn't have any sovereignty." Absolutely. I'm the primary example. I had to flee Europe in 2019 because of the censorship. And that book that you have in your hands, volume 10, as you know, explains very well why they let them in, who is behind it, and how this whole thing unfolded. Of course, when it comes to the rest of Europe, it's been part of the Kalergi plan. When it comes down to Great Britain, there is also the fact that they needed people after the Second World War to actually rebuild the country after the Nazis had destroyed that country. But having said that, it's like at the moment, Europe has realized, and I noticed this in the same speech where there was a couple of professors talking there to the Davos globalists in Davos, admitting that they are lost to Trump. They also admitted that their whole model in Europe is wrong, that in Europe, following the wrong model, that in America we have gone somewhere else now, and they are left behind with the old model made of wokeism, of fake values, of diversity, equity, and inclusion that Trump rightly is eliminating. It's about meritocracy. When instead Europe is about the black aristocracy, about the Jesuits, the control they have over Brussels, and the control they have sincerely over the whole European Union, which is a technocracy. Of course, Elon Musk is getting, I think, far too involved in all this because at times his role should be a little bit more. So now he's addressing, Germany, and Germany is in a profound situation of trouble and crisis. I know Germany very well. I worked in Germany for a few years. I was able to work in Germany after the two Germanys were united, and I witnessed myself a complete change in the last few years. I remember going with my wife back to Germany in 2018 to Berlin, and I was shocked. I couldn't recognize, I hadn't been there for, I don't know, I mean, since 1998, I think, 1999. So, I mean, a long time. And to see this change was shocking. I mean, it was like half of Berlin was Muslim. It was like being in Beirut and
Wow.
being in Istanbul, being, I mean, before. There was maybe a couple of streets where you had the Turkish community, which is the bigger Muslim community traditionally in Germany for many years. Very peaceful. They mind their own business. They had a couple of streets, and that was it. But it was the whole center of Berlin was in their hands. It was like their identity had been taken. And when you take the identity of a European country, you're not, I mean, here in America, we are a melting pot of different people from different ethnicities, from different religions, from different places on earth. And we all merge into this great experiment that our fa founding fathers have established in 1776. But in those countries, we have thousands of years of traditions that simply get scrapped off by these globalists to say, okay, now we bring in 1 million Syrians, rapists, people that change the culture and identity of Germany. So, of course, Elon Musk now supporting the Alternative for Deutschland, which is deemed by the media the far right, but is simply a revolution of common sense, even in Germany, but the same common sense should come also, should be applied in Great Britain, where this laborist minister has been covering up for a bunch of Pakistani pedophiles, as well as the prior governments, including the conservatives. And Nigel Farage is trying to do something, the Reform Party, to reform all this corrupt structure. But Europe, I mean, I think that Davos, in the last few days, I tell you the truth, has realized how much they are out of touch and actually admitted it. Zelensky that goes there and says, no matter, don't worry about Trump, you have to support me. You have to support me. Germany is going bankrupt because of you, because of they don't have any more co fossil fuels from Russia. Italy is going bankrupt. Every single country in Europe is going bankrupt, and you keep on supporting this war, you're going to go even further into bankrupt. I mean, you're going to ruin a whole continent. But Zelensky was there insisting, and it was just incredible to see that kind of thing. I mean, and then at the same time, of course, Europe has immigration problems. But they are different from here. I mean, here you're bordering with Mexico. In Italy, you are bordering with Northern Africa and some really wild terrorist support states that bring you in a bunch of Muslims that have nothing to do with your culture. Your Judeo-Christian culture basically is annihilated by these people, and you have to shut up because if you criticize them, like that book you showed, my book, my volume 10, you have a problem in Europe. I will not be able to publish a book like that in Europe. But even a book like Volume 9, where I criticize, as you know, the war with Russia, the fact that the Ukrainian identity is being created out of thin air, it never existed. Now, I think that between Trump and Putin, regardless of what some people have said, I think that we can come to some common sense in the coming weeks, and possibly we can get things sorted out. However, now that Trump has defeated Davos, the enemy is China, and China is already with the. You see, those enemies defeated in Davos are aligned with China.
Ooh.
And the future war is no longer in the battlefields, but is with AI. And the fact that in their 13-year-old plan, China wants to become the number one AI by 2030, and they are about to do it with DeepSeek, which is their ultimate project that is being constructed for this. So, a project that was unleashed, and they have done it on purpose, on the eve of Christmas 2024, China has unleashed the ultimate DeepSeek, V3, which is better, but at least or equal and probably even better than ChatGPT and all the others. And it has cost only $5 million. That blows your mind. That's why when people say, oh, Trump is hanging out with Sam Altman and he's developing Stargate, ooh, guys, we have to, I mean, we have to ally with anybody who has in the
Have to catch
past,
up and pass them, yeah.
because as you know, I have already explained volume 6.66. Volume 7 and Volume 9 of My Confessions are the trilogy of Cyber Satan. And one of the books that is cited in this trilogy is this one, The Age of Henry Kissinger, the late Henry Kissinger. Eric Schmidt. Now, this guy, Eric Schmidt, worked, of course, in Silicon Valley. And up until not so long ago, he was always saying, oh, don't worry. China is behind us, a couple of years behind us. Now he's saying we are no longer, China is no longer behind us. Now they have reached us. And this project that is alarming everybody is now gonna also be a big problem for us because it's not about the money. When Chinese tell us that they have developed this with $5 million, it's nothing, it's like peanuts.
Yeah.
And that they are just as good as the 80, 100 billion projects Google or OpenAI or Microsoft spending 15 billion. All these people are spending money, but the results given by the Chinese are superior. Now, we have always been used to the Chinese. And, I always wrote this also in my book about the Chinese imitating other things. I started in volume two and I explained that the Chinese had even imitated the symbols of Freemasonry, stole them, and position them in their own secret society, creating the Chinese Freemasonry, which is a subject I touch in volume two. And then later on, I explain how the Chinese have always been one step forward in always copying us. And that happens because they have a great espionage, a great intelligence service that works very well. I mean, if I position 100 US spies in China, they will last probably 10 days. Okay? If I position 1,000 spies, Chinese spies in America, they are still here working at your universities.
Absolutely.
It's just like the Biden administration has done so wrong, so much wrong. And we, at one point in September, if you remember, suddenly the Biden administration said, we are prohibiting the semiconductors and the chips to China because this will slow them and they are behind us. So that will be okay. So we can slow their advances in artificial intelligence. Well, I'm sorry, but they were already advancing and they were already positioning themselves because when they put together a plan, and that plan includes also destabilizing America. That's why Mexico is in the hands of China. That's why Mexico refuses the deportation flight. That's why Mexico has helped them bringing in this country fentanyl. Now, only a strong man like Donald J. Trump with Tom Homan can tell them, guys, we're gonna tariff your ass if you don't. And doesn't, I don't care if I have to spend more for my computer or my TV if I have the safety of my kids at school. I don't care. Sincerely, I don't care. And I think that in the end, Xi Jinping realizes, and because he's a guy who knows the art of the deal, that he can't oppose the proposal. And Trump's proposal is very simple. Xi Jinping gives a death sentence to all his fentanyl exporters. That's it. They will be killed. They will be eliminated if they attempt to bring fentanyl in this country. That is the deal that Trump already had in place. But unfortunately, with the arrival of Joe Biden, it didn't work out. So, executive orders, I'm quite happy. I'm quite happy also because, as you know, and this is something that involves volume 11 of my confessions, I have promised in volume 11 that if Trump arrived, he will unleash the files on the JFK assassination, on his brother's assassination, on Martin Luther King, and promises made, promises kept. What I have written is about to be unleashed. We don't know how, I mean, we know that it's going to take from now, I think, 13 days to at least have the Martin Luther King archive full disclosure. It might take a little bit longer for the JFK, about, I think they told me about a month of time. But with Tulsi Gabbard as Director of National Intelligence, with a new CIA director, which is of course on our side, Radcliffe, and with of course, and now we have also the nomination of Pete Hegseth as defense secretary. I think that we are in good hands for finally turning the page on one of the darkest moments of American history, because only a guy like Trump can finally get the CIA to admit their own faults. Of course, I understand. Michael Flynn has said, General Flynn has said, oh, be careful because the CIA is still working behind the scenes. Once, this is not the first presidency of Trump. He knows exactly what these people have done against him on the first time. He will not let that happen again.
I agree.
And so I think that, yes, being the president of all Americans will inevitably bring to some compromises. Like, you know, I mean, the art of the deal at times is made of compromises, but at the same time, is not the career politician or the first Trump presidency. And so we're going to see really things done. And the executive order that finally brings out the truth about Lee Harvey Oswald, was he alone? Wasn't he not alone? As you know, in my book, I connect him with Thomas Crooks. Thomas Crooks, now that is the next thing we need to clear here, because they kind of they were very quick in, of course, eliminating his body that was cremated 10 days later, very suspiciously, on the 23rd of July. Number also very symbolic for the Illuminati. They eliminated, and so, but his connections, the connection that Thomas Crooks had with Big Pharma, working in a certain clinic, the fact that he himself could have been in some, you know, using some drugs, some medicines, some, and we need to know all this. So we need also to understand why the parents, who were both counselors, you know, people, experts of mental health, let him have a gun and go after the president. And I think that is something that maybe I will suggest Trump to follow more closely. And there is other people aside from me that are pushing into that direction.
So with the your volume 11, you talk about MK Ultra. Your father studied it in France, I believe, 10 years
Yeah, he
before.
was part of it, of the experiments in regards to LSD, together with
LSD, yeah.
other doctors who were involved with this experimentation. they took LSD, like in the evening, for example, they made these experiments. He described me a little bit, some of them. Of course, he gave me what he could tell me. Of course, it was probably all classified, but what he said was that, for example, five doctors, four of them will not take LSD, one will take LSD, they will have, or four of them will take LSD, one will not take LSD, they will have to identify which of them wasn't on LSD, report it in detail. And this is one of the main experiments that they conducted, but of course, they were experiments that were done also abroad because MK Ultra, was like I explain in my book, a myriad of sub projects, about over 160 sub projects,
Wow.
were conducted not only in the United States of America but also abroad. At times they were conducted abroad also for legal reasons, so they could have a plausible deniability factor that they always were in search of. Canada became, unfortunately, one of those countries. Now, when it comes to Canada is a country that, of course, was a mind control experiment during the MK Ultra 20 years, 1953, 1973. At least until the end of the 60s with Dr. Cameron, they had a pivotal role with the psychic driving and all that. Then you have also the latest experiments, the ones that were confirmed during the pandemic. NATO experimented their cognitive warfare on Canada. And only once the Ottawa citizen exposed them, like I explained in volume 11, they had to make they had to make a step back and admit that they didn't even search for a government approval. They just did it. And Trudeau let them do anything because Trudeau is a weasel who let everything happen to Canada. Canada was a country that 5 years ago was training with China. I mean, how can you let your country military trained with China? That is absolutely out of order. So
Yeah,
I
I
think
totally agree with you about Canada. I saw it coming. I said that Canadians need to get out of Canada when they started before they even started locking down Canada. And once they got locked down, they just really had their way with Canadians. I think the same thing with Australia, because I could watch Australia and I could
Or
see
I would
whatever they
say
did in
all
Australia, they're going to do here, because they were testing it.
New Zealand. If you
New
think about
Zealand, yeah.
Australia, New Zealand, Canada, what are these countries? What they have in common? They all have the British flag
British
inside.
flag still, yeah.
I mean, apart from Canada, that of course it doesn't use it any longer, but they all part of that British Empire, and
Oh, yeah.
so they are countries that have never had a 1776 moment. They have never really rebelled to those European powers that are the ones that we are fighting here, the ones that have admitted their defeat. Now there is all this talk about Greenland, and I was telling you a moment ago, but then I kind of lost my what I was saying. But Greenland, people are telling me, oh, Leo, you are in Paris because you are advocating for Greenland becoming America and them losing their sovereignty. Okay, Greenland doesn't have any sovereignty. They depend from Denmark. But at the same
Yeah.
time, they depend militarily from the US. And they are not the only country, by the way. I'm a guy who used to work in Iceland, even on the national radio, and Iceland doesn't have a military. They have an American base, they pay to patrol the coast so they can defend their own shipping rights. Well, I will occupy even Iceland because but they pay, so that's okay, they pay. But Greenland doesn't pay. Greenland doesn't pay for the service we provide. Denmark, unfortunately, is part of the Swedish Rite of Freemasonry, which together with Norway, Sweden, Finland, Iceland, they have this lobby. And it's a completely different form of Freemasonry from what we are used here in America, which is predominantly just a social club, a little bit more than a Rotary, nothing more. The Swedish Rite is a lot different than that. Their origins are very different. And traditionally, they used to be dependent from the monarch of Sweden. They are in charge of the Nobel Peace Prize. They're in charge of all these things. So Trump's fiery call with the Danish prime minister, and that has freaked out now. She said she has freaked out because, you know, the notion of purchasing Greenland has been a topic of discussion, but she just dismissed it by saying, oh, they're not interested in selling. Well, you're not interested in selling, but why are you letting the Chinese in with their interest in your country? Why are you letting the Chinese buy you out? And why are you letting China taking over slowly and gradually? Because it's inevitable. Even in Europe, I have seen in my own country of Italy the Chinese sneaking in and getting power. In China, there is a technique they use when they want to invade a country. I saw it with my own eyes in Italy. At one point, the police said, no Chinese person dies in Italy for 10 or 15 years. How is possible? And finally, they understood that it was simply substituting one name with the other and letting another Chinese in from China. And the invasion continued, and no Chinese will ever die in Europe. So I will say to the Danish prime minister, screw yourself and just let's invade Greenland. That's it. I mean, we have to. It's obvious that the moment in which we do something like this, we will have to understand that the Chinese will occupy Taiwan. So it's up to us to understand, are we capable of defending Taiwan? Do we want to defend Taiwan? Or do we want to defend our own interests? It's incredible how the president of Panama just went to visit the Pope and the Italian president a couple of days ago, trying to ask for help from the Jesuits. So the Panama president knows very well that we are on his case, but he's also letting the Chinese take over a strategic asset, which should have always stayed in our hands because of the sacrifice that we did with 3,000 Americans, but also because of the strategic importance of simply passing from one part to the other for our military ships. I mean, it's just like we can't let that go. It's too important. Now, of course, in this new America, we have the petty federal workers that want to revenge against Trump's executive orders that they can't stay at home anymore, or the diversity, equity, inclusion one that they don't want to leave their job even after they were asked to do so. Well, there will be a lot of fight to get this common sense back to America. It will not be immediate, of course, but we're gonna try. So the inauguration in itself has demonstrated one thing, that Washington, D.C. has a very powerful role and a powerful symbolism. I mean, we have understood, even from Dan Brown's novel, the importance of this city's ties to Freemasonry, the symbolism of it. But it is true. It is the headquarters of the Supreme Council of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite, Mother Council for the world. What does this mean? And I want to explain this for our viewers because maybe they might be interested in this.
Yes.
I spoke about this also in volume four. I spoke about it in some other of my books. I always discuss, of course, my own Masonic, as you know, experiences. And so there, but Washington has a role, a specific role. At the end of the 18th century, Freemasonry's rites were kind of coming together. Some were dismissed because maybe too dangerous or too close to the elite, visibly speaking. They will not function in the new post-French Revolution. So then they had to archive, for example, after the American independence and the French Revolution, the Knights Templars of the Strict Temple of Servants. So the Swedish Rite, for example, they became an elite and they kept these traditions. The other ones prioritize officially the fact that Freemasonry was a descendant from the guilds, from the craft was descended from the, so they gave a more innocent aspect to Freemasonry and at the same time a different aspect to Freemasonry that then later on became less and less religious and more open to all religions. And eventually, after 1813, with the union of the moderns and the ancients in England, it will no longer be required to be a Christian to join Freemasonry. You could be of any religion. But our father founders, the ones that were Freemasons, the George Washington of the situation, in theory, they were following a more Christian form of Freemasonry. It was different. But at the same time, they were also getting initiated and understanding the ancient mystery schools. So they understood Pythagoras, they understood the properties of Euclid, they understood the measurements made by the 47th problem, they understood also the ancient Egyptian mystery schools of Alexandria. They started to understand people like, of course, you had George Washington, you have Benjamin Franklin, you have Paul Revere. All these people were all participants in the Boston Tea Party and at the Green Dragon Tavern, no? People don't know all this, but there was actually a Masonic meeting to organize the Boston Tea Party. So the new world order that they say purposely threatens the country independence and its citizens is actually something that comes into fruition because America is coming into fruition. And the idea is that with America becoming this republic with certain inalienable rights, with the first, the second amendment, with everything that opposes the tyranny of Europe, we are creating a new experiment. So it was great to see in the inauguration day, of course, all the symbolism that we find in Washington along with the inauguration. And the fact that he chose the Capitol Rotunda was, of course, because his life was threatened, just like Ronald Reagan. It was an excuse, the code. We all see that it was cold, but sincerely, we could have done it in the open. But of course, we don't say anything because we know that the security of the president is so important, especially after two. At least two attempted assassinations that we know of, maybe probably many more. And so I think that.
Yeah, I didn't know that Reagan was under assassination threats during that time frame. So that makes sense, though, because it wasn't
Ronald
after his second inauguration that we
Reagan
got.
assassination attempt ha appeared happened in the 19, I think, what was it, 1981, 81. It was during his first mandate. So obviously, just like Trump for his second mandate, they decided to do it historically for the first time in the Capitol Rotunda there, or at least for the last few decades, they had never been done there. So they decided to do it there. But it was a security measure, first of all. I
Sure.
mean, and I think it was great that we could have everybody in this Capitol Rotunda safe, that everything went without any problem. Let's say that this tranquil passing of power, it was very balanced. It was all very, even the enemies had to be low key, let's say. Though, I mean, you could visibly see in their faces every now and then, the Hillary Clinton of the situation, the hate just comes out of her. You can't stop that demon from emanating that evil from,
Totally, totally.
or other people like Kamala or Obama or these people. I mean, I think that Obama actually is the one who has probably had the least. He understood that probably before others with Kamala they will lose. I think that Obama has realized that a long time ago that it was a lost cause. that they couldn't change because the fact was that to bring a completely new candidate will irremediably damage the donors that had already donated to the campaign. And so they just went on with Kamala, and that was it. But like I said, the way that this city, Washington, D.C., is reflecting below what is above, the way it was built, it positions itself also in a certain way respect to the energies of the universe, if you know what I mean. So it was a very powerful inauguration, and I'm very glad that everything went smoothly because we had a lot of alarmism prior to that, and we didn't really know what could happen. But now we are in a new America. We are in a new America whereby, yes, there will be people that will say, oh, you know, saying certain things about Canada or Greenland. Now, Canada, Greenland are two different things. Canada will never be invaded militarily because Canada simply will either be left to their own decline, because at the moment they have a very big decline economically. And so I don't think they can have an economic trade war with the US. They are not capable of it. So once the tariffs come in, either they capitulate immediately to the request, or it would be definitely better to bring them in as the 51st state. But if they don't want to, because they have, of course, a bunch of liberals and leftists, so unfortunately they like their whole Canada identity, that's no problem. But with Greenland is a different thing. Greenland and Panama might require a military action. That is what.
So, do you think that the military actions could actually start in Mexico and then build from there?
I don't know about Mexico. I don't know about Mexico. I don't think that Mexico is somewhere where we can intervene militarily, if not at the border. Of course, within the line of the borders, we should intervene inside by, you know, 50 kilometers to just clear and create a, let's say, a safety zone from between the United States and the cartels and their dirty interests. So, you know, aside from just like it happened from this morning, they started to move in to rebuild here in between Tijuana and San Diego. They started to rebuild the wall, and they need to have drones, radars, controls, patrols, and everything that makes this country totally proof. And of course, regardless of the deportations, because those, I have to tell you the truth, deportations are a very expensive business. It's going to cost us a fortune. And this is going to become a problem in the long run. But we have to prove the whole nation, and hopefully we can send as many as possible people back to their own countries if they don't deserve to be here. And we can definitely create a different kind of America in those areas where these people have actually moved in and transformed the country. Not, I mean, they're not living in the American way. They are transforming their own ghetto in, I don't know, a Baghdad or some other kind of shithole in the Middle East or in some other third world country. We need to understand if they want to integrate, they have to be integrated in the American way. And I think that would be acceptable for everyone. But of course, we are at the moment witnessing a lot of other crises here in America. You have to understand America psychologically. And I, as you know, volume 11, I talk also about the psychology of young people, especially after the pandemic. We see these people having more and more, being more and more in crisis. I mean, America's young people don't want to have sex anymore. This is insane. They're saying not to, I mean, young men that are leading this depressing trend, not having, I mean, you have to produce, otherwise we will be forced into that nightmare that the globalists want, which is basically producing in a lab our children completely detached from a family unit and then controlled by the AI. And on top of that, once, as you know, I spoke about this in my books, in Volume 7 in particular, but also the transhumanist element that comes in. The fact that they merge gradually with the machine more and more. And so there will be a moment in which we are facing the annihilation of human beings as we know them if we continue on the wrong path.
Right.
So I think
But
that what
kind of goes like we're talking about China.
yeah.
The Wuhan flu, that came from China. Of course, Fauci and NIH, helped develop that and the military and so forth. But it came from China, and they had it as a means to basically take Trump out because Trump is, going against them, creating tariffs on China. They didn't want, they wanted him out. So now that we have that Wuhan flu that's basically, and the shot that went with that, it has definitely impacted their reproduction and the desire for people to have sex anymore.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. And at the same time, let's never forget that during the pandemic, one of the first countries to be hit by COVID, as you remember, was Italy. And the first thing they did was to place a statue of Moloch in the Colosseum during the whole period.
Wow.
I mean, people don't maybe don't know this, but
Oh, yeah, I remember watching that. Yeah.
a statue of Moloch. I even have a video I can send you if you want of it. A
Oh, neat.
statue of Moloch was placed in the Colosseum. And Moloch is where you bring human sacrifices. So that is pretty sinister if you think about it. And then it's connected to the Pope because the Pope himself gave more importance to science than to religion, forced everybody to have a vaccination in order to enter the Vatican. The Pope himself celebrating a mass isolated in the center of St. Peter's Square was one of the most shocking scenes. When in antiquity, even with the bubonic plague, the Pope would go along Rome, every single street, with the cross of penitence and trying to bless people without scared of anything, because in theory, he's a representative of God. So that is also, I think, very shocking.
Yeah, I
And
remember there was like some kind of Mardi Gras or something in Italy, and then people left that and they infected all of Europe from that Mardi Gras in Italy. I forget what it was, but it was during that time frame, is like in the early spring time frame.
yeah, no, they have in Italy around early, I think, early February and stuff, they have a it's called the Carnival, Carnivale
That's
di
it.
Viareggio, Carnivale we have it also in Venice. And they are the ideal spots where you can, of course, like you said, spread a
They
biological warning
definitely did it
from
there,
there
yeah,
on.
on purpose, yeah.
And of course, the fact that in all this, Joe Biden has given the Medal of Freedom to Dr. Fauci and Pope Francis.
That's right.
And that basically Dr. Fauci was also pardoned for crimes that we don't know about, but we all know about. I mean, the guy should be arrested and sentenced to a life in prison, not a medal from the President of the United States. But that's unfortunately what we have
Now,
seen.
you talked about the Masonic connection in the Capitol in D.C., but we also have seven hills, just like in Rome. They have Capitol Hill, Meridian Hill,
Because,
Flora.
like I said, it's a reflection of what is above, below. So it's a little, Rome has seven hills. So when they wanted to build something that was just as strong, is even more powerful, and to make a statement that will last for centuries, they had to choose a specific location. So it was definitely not choose just It wasn't a coincidence.
Been called many times the New Rome.
Yeah.
So when they came to establish it, so
Yeah.
they had that ideal.
Absolutely. And Washington, of course, established this city wearing a Masonic apron, and everything was done ritually. Now, like I said, not necessarily evil.
Yeah.
Evil infiltrated Freemasonry soon
I
after
agree. Yeah.
to certain sects of the Illuminati. The Illuminati brought that progressivism that eventually then manifested in Karl Marx Manifesto. At the time of Judge Washington, we didn't have yet a formalization of this evil ideology that will eventually manifest in communism, in socialism, slash, because socialism, which is the ultimate aim of socialism, is always communism. So that's it. That was an experiment that led to, unfortunately, the birth of the Soviet Union, of communist China, of countries that nowadays, let's say, Russia has abandoned the experiment. And they have admitted to me personally, when I visit them many times, that it was a failed experiment for them. However, they also admitted that the way the communists worked at least gave them one thing, was culture for everybody. And that this culture for everybody, in a way, has helped. But of course, then they said to me also, if you pay a doctor as much as you pay the guy who is cleaning the street, there is no will to go further in your life professionally. If I'm a doctor and I get the same money the guy gets, and that was communism, communism works
So it's
like
thing like Trump's trying to bring in, merit. So
that. Meritocracy is a completely different ball game, and meritocracy is really what we have to go back to, because
Absolutely.
I come from a country, for example, Italy, where there has never been any meritocracy. There is actually a system there, and it's not the diversity and inclusion system. It's a complete different system. It's a system of corruption. If you are, let's say, a president, or you are in an institution, you give that job to your son gives it to your grandson, and goes on like this. It's like you inherit. So then the doctor is always a doctor in the family, the lawyer inherits the family's business, and it's always a lawyer. And it's not about meritocracy, because often I saw completely incompetent doctors, completely incompetent lawyers, but because of their fathers, they were holding up. That gives you also another side of how these things can be done, and it's completely wrong. Meritocracy is the opposite of all that. And in fact, people, when they come from Europe, especially from countries that are as corrupt as Italy, they say, wow, here we have opportunities that we don't have in our countries. Because in our countries, if I'm born in modest conditions, I will never be able to come out of it. And the same thing then happens with the diversity, equity, and inclusion. Because if you start giving more importance to the color of the skin or the sex of a person, then of course you destroy the fundamentals of meritocracy. And I think that was the insanity that was really ruining the American dream in the last few years. That's why I criticize the DEI, the diversity, equity, and inclusion in volume 11, if you remember, because I said that was also one of the reasons for Trump attempted assassinations. We saw it, when he was about to, in one of the worst situations, he was surrounded by women in the Secret Service that were half his height, and lesbian, whatever. With all the respect, they might be good, but if you are supposed to defend the life of a guy who is six, like my height, 6'1", 6'2", whatever, you need to be that height. You can't be shorter. And also the fact that they gave this diversity and inclusion, gave all these jobs only because of sexuality, maybe to incompetent women simply because they were lesbian. Who cares? Who cares? I'm sure, though, that there is also lesbian women who are very competent, but they shouldn't They shouldn't latch to their sexuality to get a job. They should simply latch to what American dream teaches, meritocracy. You are good. I don't care who you sleep with. That's something also that we need to get out of our system. I saw it also in this in the approval of Pete Hegseth, as well as other people that were nominated by Trump. You know, they go into personal details that sincerely have no relevance in the job you need to conduct. I don't care who you sleep with. I don't care what you do. I care that you do your job well. Instead, in
Well, that's
Joe Biden's
part of the woke.
administration,
They were bringing that woke in, and they basically, instead of having meritocracy like we're talking about, they just open it up for these woke groups to come in and take
no,
advantage.
to mentally insane people like the
Yeah.
one who used to sit
Insane.
wearing
Exactly.
dresses at the airports, and he was in charge of of our nuclear waste.
Incredible. Bald guy with lipstick on. Unbelievable.
Then you had the other guy in charge of the health, who is with all the. I mean, it's just insane. I mean,
Insane.
if you go back a few decades and you see the movies in Hollywood, I saw a movie, I don't remember the title now, not so long ago, a movie from 1980, I think, of Brian De Palma, about this psychiatrist who wanted to become a woman. But he wasn't stopping himself. At that time, still, Hollywood was treating the whole thing as a mental illness.
Yeah.
Okay. Nowadays, woo, we have to have the transgender winning the Oscars this year. That is what they're doing. This year, there will be possibly a transgender winning the Oscars
Yeah.
for as an actress.
Right. That's the meritocracy is gone. In Hollywood, because they're like, we have this agenda where we have to, promote these people, and now that they're not getting, promoted by Trump, they're getting all upset and trying to get everybody else, on their side, because they've had their way. They've been stealing these positions, they've been given to them. It's and I think it's just part of like trying to destroy our society.
I think it's insane. I mean, have you seen this movie, Emilia Perez? I mean, it's about, I mean, the whole story is sickening. I mean, the fact that it's based about, somebody who has to change his sex, and he was the head of, I think, a Mexican cartel, so he can then
Oh,
cover
I
his
saw that.
identity in
Oh, I
order.
saw a piece of that. I was like, "Oh, that's disgusting!" And they made it into like a musical. Like they're like, "What?" And that's going to be like Hollywood's top pick.
But if you remember, I wrote extensively about Hollywood in Volume 8 of
Oh
my
yeah, that was
presentations,
really good.
and
Incredible
I
job.
explained how this Hollywood reality came into fruition. And in the end, now I hope that Trump's nominated ambassadors,
Yeah.
Meg, of course, and the others can do a great job in maybe bringing back some common sense also in Hollywood, because we don't want to be bombarded with this bullshit. We want to have entertainment when we go and watch a movie. We don't want to, it's just becoming too much.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you can't watch any on Netflix. It's just full of like, same sex, kissing each other, and it's like, ah. It's like they got to put it in there now. It's like, come on. And you just want to just turn it all off. It's insane.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then, of course, we become the people that everybody mocks from around the world, because they see us fighting for the diversity, equity, and inclusion in situations like the armed forces in the United States that should have absolutely other priorities. And so I think, I mean, this revolution of common sense has to come into fruition. And anybody who opposes it is simply mentally ill, or it is simply evil and satanic. So there is two possibilities here. Either you are completely evil, or you're completely deranged. There is no person in the right mind that can support this kind of policies.
Yeah.
And
And
I
like we were talking about, and you had that article about that one bishop in at the National Cathedral, and Trump's
Yes.
in there with his family, and she's like berating him because he's like going against transgenders, and they're like all upset, and it's like, what? It's like they're all stunned.
Well, I
The
was
whole
watching that
Trump family's
live.
stunned. Like, what?
I was watching that live with my
Yeah.
wife and simply watching the service, I started to notice elements of the one world religion, when you had the Muslim Imam, when you started to have the prayer. Okay, fine. You want to expand to people of other faiths because he's the president of everybody. Okay, let's take it. But when this woman started to talk, because I tell you the truth, Trump was actually quite sleepy that day. He was awake all night, and he was like, kind of like almost. Me and my wife were like, oh no, I hope he doesn't pull a Biden now, But when one, let's say, good thing about this woman bishop was that as soon as she started talking, Trump was boom, and all his family started to go on the edge because
Yeah.
she's basically been there since 2011 in this position. But it was obvious that she was being a pawn in the game of Pope Francis, so that
Yeah. Yeah.
because it was an opportunity to immediately get back to the. I said it, if you remember, in that article dedicated to the bishop, the Catholic bishop that has been recently nominated for Washington, who I said is an act of war against Trump. I said, expect immediate retaliation from these people as soon as Trump's after the inauguration. And they were so predictable. Boom. They had this woman with her evil Grinch look, this woman, Buddha, who suddenly turned the religious sermon in an unwanted political stance. And I immediately wrote the article. And then, because I get regular updates from the press, from it was the press campaign, but now from the communication of the White House, they send me regular emails every day to update me on everything that has been. They also show me, so I send it to them immediately to the White House, the article I made. And immediately after, Trump at that point made his post on Truth Social. So I was like, well, I'm glad that Trump is not letting this pass, Because the fact that she started to mention the gay, lesbian, transgender children in Democratic Republic, and like they had to fear for their life, it was the biggest nonsense I ever heard. I mean, the guy was dancing with the village people a couple of days before, and who have the most camp group in the planet, I mean, I can't find the gayest group in Village People, I think. So, I mean, to say that you have to fear for your life if you are, it's completely insane. And it's a lie from a person that, as you know, was already an anti-Trumpian in 2010. She said that she wanted Trump removed. She actually intervened also when there was all those people who attacked the White House, the protest in June 2020, and Bude criticized them because of the use of tear gas, and they said that Trump was there for a photo op in front of the church. I mean, it was she is what the left should stop being. If the left wants to go back to be relevant, they have to stop this stance because they are annoying. They are childish in a way when they are based on nonsense. And I think that Americans have had enough of them. So I don't think that the desired result came from this. And if you want, of course, read my take on it, you can go on leozagami.com, where, of course, I have published this article when it happened on the 21st of January.
So somebody's saying in the chat that she was removed, but I'm looking in the news and I don't see that she's removed. But he wanted her to apologize, and she said she's not. It wouldn't.
Up until now, she has been invited on every single on
Oh,
CNN, MSNBC,
CNN
especially.
everywhere.
I think she might even go to the Oscars at this point. I mean, they will give her an award or something. I mean, they remove her because there is, I tell you why, if they remove her, they might remove for a reason. You see, the Episcopal Church is born out of the 1776. When in 1776 we broke up from United Kingdom, traditionally the Anglican Church head is the king or the queen. And the moment in which we had to break from those people, we had to create our own Anglican Church. And that's what the Episcopal Bishop presides. She presides over the Anglican Church of America, basically, and the various congregations of it. So, because it's so close to the government, and that's why Trump went there that day, there might be a possibility that they will force her to resign, because, of course, one thing is a Catholic bishop or a Catholic, but the Episcopal Bishop of Washington has historically a link with, even if we have a separation of church and state, they had, the Americans had to get themselves independent from England, and so that's what they did by creating this church. But of course, nowadays all the Anglican churches have come under the supervision of Pope Francis under this new interfaith dialogue slash deals that are merging the one world religion, which, as you know, I've described out of all books in volume 7 of my Confessions, because in volume 7 of my Confessions, I explain also, if you remember, how Freemasonry has worked in the last few years with Pope Francis to bring together all these religions and merge them for this one world religion project. So volume 7 is also the book, as you remember, connected to the occult side of the Great Reset and of Davos. Because Davos, people focus very much on the business leaders that go there. And this year, of course, Klaus Schwab has kind of wanted to be not so visible because he's kind of giving up on his leading role, even if he created this whole thing. But in the end, what happens is that Klaus Schwab will have never put together Davos as we know it without the support of the Jesuits and the Vatican. And it was the progressive side of the Vatican with this Brazilian Red Bishop, as they call them, who intervened in Davos in the early 70s, that changed the complete course and trajectory of this group of businessmen and political leaders that come together in Davos. And like we said, they are the ones who have been defeated. They have admitted they have been defeated. So it's not even like, they went on record there and they said, Trump defeated us. Maybe we don't, he said, he has brought in a new way. We don't necessarily think it's the best way, but we have to acknowledge that we have been defeated. And that is, I think, a big acknowledgement from Davos. But having said that, it's not the end of the whole thing. I mean, of course,
Yeah, you were
they.
saying that they're going to like align with China to try and overcome America at some point. Do you think that's what they're doing?
I think that if they see that America is not such a reliable ally
Yeah.
anymore, they're globalist. But we always say, listen,
That's awesome.
I remember already back in 2006, 2007, when I started with Greg Zismansky at the Arctic Beacon, we used to do these shows regarding the Jesuits. I said, the model that the Illuminati want for the world is like China, it's not like America. It's an oppressive model, it's a controlling model. So sooner or later, they will give up on America when America is going to start, but they admitted, and this is incredible, during one of these speeches at Davos, that what they thought was already a sold package. Like they said, now we just have to preside over millions of people who have accepted this new model of the world, this woke, this leftist globalist model. And they admitted that they failed. So that is, I think that is a great admission. But now, of course, we cannot trust the enemy to suddenly change and come on our side. We will see definitely a lot of people that will try. You see, the revolution of common sense of Trump is going to bring a lot of business opportunity here in the United States. He himself has said it to the people in Davos. If you invest here, we're going to give you benefits that you will not find in other countries, tax benefits, all kinds of benefits. So I think that if they want to continue making money, they might give up on all that wokeism deal. We have seen it also here in America. Walmart and other companies have given up on their diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. The only one that stayed is Costco, that seems to want to continue in there, but they are the only one. Even Target, and Target was one of the most woke places. I remember going into Target every year, pride here, pride there, pink here, women dresses and men dresses, all kinds of sick stuff. But Target is announcing they're abandoning that stuff. So maybe there is a return to normality. And if it functions for also for the big industry, for the big corporations, they might give up on wokeism altogether. But I think that giving up on wokeism altogether from the economical, let's say the business side of things, will not coincide with the intellectuals of the left ever giving up on their sick and twisted ideas like the ones of the Episcopal Archdiocese of Washington. So I think that Marianne Wood unfortunately represents what many of these leftist intellectual academics in many of our universities still feel. And so I think the only way to make them change idea is simply with facts. Sick with
Well, it
success.
says she was removed by the National Cathedral, by the Episcopal Archdiocese of Washington. So,
But I explain you also why. I explain you why. Because it's an historical foundation. It's connected to the foundations of the United States. It's connected to the fact that we broke with the UK, and that broke also our connection with the Anglican Church in England. So it makes complete sense that even if there is a separation of church and state, that she has received so much pressure. Because there is another thing that I wrote in my article, if you remember. Trump or whoever will participate to that event was promised in October from the organizers that it would be in no way political. So they violated that promise. So I mean, if you violate that promise, that was simply, like I said, that was simply, I mean, and we will see, unfortunately, still these people who from the mainstream news have fought Trump in the last 4 years, have supported Joe Biden, still trying to intervene in the national discourse until we're gonna mock them to oblivion, because they're gonna be so ridiculous.
They're losing all across America. I mean, that's a good sign right there. I thought that was I was like, wow, that's going to be tough to overcome that. And she's gone now. And we saw the J6 prisoners released. They pushed back on that, and then they pushed again, and then more got released. So just about all of them have been released. Had a woman on my show that I've been following, had coming on many times, and she came on and said, I still got a report right after we got done with our show. Because she called out a bunch of people, they contacted her and said, "You don't have to come." So, we're having amazing pushback on them all across the board, and we have Gavin. Newsom, running up and shaking Trump's hand and like so, and then he's like, calling out the mayor, Bass. So there's a big pushback. That's, I mean, it's unbelievable. And Davos is saying, "Yeah, you won." It's like, wow, man, this is happening
Yeah,
fast.
I mean, it happens fast because we know today the communication that we have is not like in the old days where you can, censor every single word and mold the national discourse, even in Europe. People are seeing what is happening in America. But in Europe, unfortunately, for them, it's very difficult because they have never had in recent years a Trump movement of sorts. Even their conservatives have always been weak, like the Italian prime minister. Well, a few months ago, she was like around with Joe Biden in southern Italy when Joe Biden was losing himself. He picked him up and he almost babysitted him and didn't expose him at all. Actually, showed she was a good ally. And now she's suddenly a Trumpian. I mean, these people in Europe are very weak. They don't have a real political identity. One instead, here in America, we were fighting really for our future and for our lives because I'm sure that if Kamala won, we would be subject to censorship like we never saw before. The January Sixers will have stayed, all of them, in jail for the rest of their lives. On top of that, we will have kept getting worse and worse with more limitations, even to our own private mobility from one city to the other. I mean, they will have made this country a living hell, transformed it into the Soviet Union. So we have really dodged the bullet there. And we have to thank God for that because things will have
Well,
been better.
a lot of it, the way we did that, we woke people up, with
Absolutely. I mean,
books and commentary. And so, and like you said, back in, JFK's time, that was like the deep state was like kicking ass back then. They were like just killing everybody in front of our face. But the news media basically controlled everything. Now they don't control anything. In fact, they're falling everywhere. It's like those of us that are pushing this information out independently are the ones who are watching now. It's amazing time frame.
I mean, the fact that even little me receives an update regularly from the White House, and I was invited even today in Las Vegas to attend the press conference with Trump. So I mean, that would be unimaginable just a few years ago because when you go there, it would be. I remember even when I went to Coachella, there would be like NBC, ABC. All these people will have their own thing. And in fact, when I presented, I said, "So, which media are you from?" I said, "Well, I'm from myself, little me. I'm from the little Zion." And I was like about to leave, and suddenly this phone call arrived. We are expecting him, and I was like, "Whoa!" And my wife was like, "Well,
Wow.
wow, yeah." So things have
Very
changed. Independent media, bloggers, YouTubers, even a variety of them have really showed that we can win, and they are the losing part. I mean, with all their, everybody expected that if you still have control over 90% or at least 80%, if we don't, because we don't want to include, of course, Fox, but Fox, it was always a little bit ambiguous even in 2020. So, and even criticized by Trump. So, if we calculate that the majority of the mainstream news is in their hands, if we were in the old days, we will have no chance. But also, it demonstrates this terrible damage that was done to the First Amendment, 4 years of Joe Biden restricting the lives of people and the livelihood of people. Because when they eliminated my PayPals one after the other, I'm no longer on PayPal because five PayPals were closed down.
Crazy. Wow.
And when they, and now Trump is trying to fight back, they didn't open a bank account to his wife.
That's
They didn't
right.
open a bank account for Barron, creating problem for Barron. I mean, people are criminals. That is stuff we never saw in America, this kind of methods from a third world country, from a banana republic. So I think that we need to be really harsh on them. and get back to them, because I mean, this was a violation of every single law in the American Constitution, especially the First Amendment, the Second Amendment.
Yes.
I mean,
I mean, I would like, for YouTube to be, forced to basically abide by the First Amendment by the Trump administration. If we can see that, then your work will really get out there around the world, and that would help
I think things are
European.
changing, Mike. I think they are changing on YouTube because the fact that they already gave back channels that were removed even in 2020 to me, they gave me back. They were frozen in time, and suddenly, 2 or 3 days after the election, boom, they reappeared. And I was like, "What? Let me go."
Wow.
So I said, and I
I
was
need
like,
to get back on there, see if I can get back in there.
"Yeah, maybe. I'm sure you can. You just
Wow.
have to do an appeal. They will give you back the channel." Now, I did an appeal for most of my channels, and most of them, only a couple, because they had eliminated 17 of my YouTube channels, one after the other,
Me
you know. So
too. Me too. Yeah. About the same.
I started to appeal, and I saw the modality on how they were working this whole thing.
Yeah.
And from a couple, they, for medical reasons, they still wouldn't give them back. But they gave me back others that where I ferociously, by the way, criticized the vaccine. So I don't know really the politics there because it seems very strange. But it was like obvious that after the elections, they started to change something because to give me back, and then there was a channel which I had for many, many years. I mean, and they had taken out in October 2020, which they didn't eliminate or they didn't. Want to give, it's not that they refused to give me back the channel, like they just eliminated the content. And suddenly I went in there, they said, "You can post, you are welcome back, everything," but the content was not there. And why is that? Because I had interviewed the Ricky Tario from the Proud Boys, because I had people like that. And so they just evaporated all that content. But I recovered a lot of other, a couple of other channels where it was like a time machine because suddenly I saw these videos that were forever lost, or things that I had their memories and many other things that were given back to me. Unfortunately, not everything. Like I said, even my wife, who has 5,000 subscribers, she lost her channel and they refused to give it back. So I don't know what she posted or something. They didn't want to give it back. But I mean, things are changing. The fact checkers on YouTube now, apparently, and the algorithms have changed. Let's not forget that even the head of Google was present for the inauguration.
That's right.
So,
Yeah.
you know, things have to change. And
Right.
it's like Trump said it a couple of years ago. We will get these people arrested. And then you see Mark Zuckerberg running to the Mar-a-Lago and
Yep.
so they were like,
I posted something. Because he was saying he was going to change it, and I was posting stuff, and it was still getting taken down. And then the last time where he had an interview. And he says, we're doing away with fact checkers. So I posted something after that, which was, would have got me, really hammered in the past, suppressed, and it stayed. So I think there really is
it's a
a
change.
lessening of the restrictions now.
Trump has stated this during the Davos speech he gave. He has made an executive order also for freedom of speech. We are supporting the freedom of speech. He said it to the people in Davos. And those people are the people who instead will have preferred a different vision of the world, everybody oppressed, everybody not able to interact in any way if not following the one world ideology. I mean, it was a very sad world that we were encountering during and immediately after the pandemic. And I'm glad that this has, at least we have 10 pages with this. However, now, like I said, we have a different kind of war to attend, and the battlefield might not only be, you know, like in Ukraine or in Taiwan or wherever. I think, like I said, the battlefield of the future is the technologic battlefield, and the rise of the AI is what, because when, for example, they ask one Yale professor in Davos, what do you think is the next 4 years important? More important in the next 4 years, politics or technology? And he said both, because it's not only about Davos, being Davos and celebrating all the neo-paganist ways of Davos. It's also about the fact that they know very well that the rise of the AI will include the replacement of many things, like civil servants, politicians will be replaced by the, even CEOs will be replaced by the AI, but that is going to leave a lot of people without a job. That's going to create a whole different problem in a few years from now. And so we will see those people eliminated by pandemics, by wars. But when they don't need them, they will eliminate them in some way. That's what is disturbing and what we have to be careful with.
Yeah, I agree. So people can find you on leozagami.com.
Oh, well, thank you so much always for inviting me. It's always a nice and interesting chat that we have together. Of course, people can find me on leozagami.com. People can also get my books. The links are usually on leozagami.com, or you can simply go on Amazon. And hopefully we are in for a 2025 that will bring us some great news. I mean, regardless of anything bad that can happen also. We also, of course, don't have to underestimate the enemy. They're not simply going to go away from one day to the other. I mean, suddenly, or they will suddenly convert to Trumpism and become MAGA. I hope, though, that this revolution of common sense will bring also those people in the left who know that we need unity in order to be strong. And strength is by unity here in America. The fact that California now wants to discuss the walking out of the union and other blue states would like to do the same simply because Trump is making the union great again, well, that is shocking for me. And I think we shouldn't stand for that kind of, I mean, if I receive a poll in 2028 that is asking me to secede from the union here in California, I'm simply going to go away from California. I mean, if California makes such a decision, then, well,
Yeah, I saw they have that poll. That's crazy. I wonder how that's going to go. I know there's probably a lot of counties in California that would secede from California if they succeed. So
yeah, well, that's true. That's absolutely true. And I know it because, we saw 107,000 people in Coachella. They were not, it wasn't an illusion. It wasn't a mirage. There were actually more than 100,000 people in support of Donald Trump. And I saw people that really want this president here in California, regardless of all the bad things that they say against him. Of course, these people here, like in certain areas, of privileged individuals who tend to have this wokeism, leftist ideology, and look everybody from a distance, like those people is difficult to bring on our side. But like Trump has done yesterday in his visit to Los Angeles, I think that once you dialogue with them, once you actually make them realize that things can be done for the benefit of both parties,
I
because we
think
are all American.
he was trying to fight for the people. He doesn't care about, what party you're with. But the Democrats seem to be, destroying America.
It's a
Definitely,
fact.
LA and San Francisco, that's where the privileged people are. They should see at this point that, the Democrats are destroying their cities.
Parties are built out of the illusion of democracy that the elite has given us. However, now we have seen with the rise of Trump's populism a different kind of option. And maybe we can save at least the American dream. And at that point, by saving the American dream, we give an example to the rest of the world.
Absolutely.
An example that will make not only America great again, but Europe, Russia, but even China. Every country in the world can be great if they respect each other and don't try to prevail on each other and force us into an indoctrination like bringing transgender into the school, bringing perverse ideologies that even to children who are innocent and should stay innocent, so that Episcopal bishop that now, thank God, we announced today has been kicked out, and we are very glad of that. It's a great news. But I mean, this is, I mean, children should be left being children. And all that sexuality, all this bringing sexuality into the discourse is wrong. It's completely wrong. Let them grow up, let them grow through the various phases of life, because maybe that child who, when he's 10, is a bit confused sexually, after 3 or 4 years, will be completely normal. And instead, by giving them hormones or castrating them with that, I think that that policy of forcing, feeding us with all these lies about accepting transgenders in sports and stuff, of course, in the end, the result has been the defeat of this party of nonsense. But I hope that they go back to common sense, even the left. So at least we go back to have a country of common
Absolutely.
sense, like it was envisioned from the start in 1776. So God bless you. God bless all our viewers. And
Yes.
again, for having me on. I think that also Masonically speaking, Freemasonry in the last few years had suffered a lot, the infiltration of these progressive elements as well as sectarian elements like the OTO and others that pushed for this. All the followers of Aleister Crowley, they're all perverts. They're all pushing for this transgender, all this stuff. They're pushing for it. And now, though, that a different America is emerging, even Freemasonry, I hope, will get back to some common sense. God bless you all, and God bless all our viewers.
You too, Leo. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jago. Speak soon.